How you doing, Coach?
Doing all right, Glenn.
Hey, Coach.
Pete.
Freddie.
Coach.
Steve.
So,
how
Coach.
How you guys doing today?
Well, not too bad.
I take it you're doing a lot better as well, huh? Yeah. A little bit better when you win, I guess.
Yeah, it's always better when you win.
And you were able to, and you were able to finish this game, which obviously you've got to be pleased with what you saw in the second half. Did you think the team looked a little bit flat coming out at the beginning of that game?
No, not really. I thought we played pretty well defensively, and we just missed some plays on offense. We had our chances there, didn't convert a couple third downs, and missed a couple plays there. I didn't think it was a lack of effort. We just didn't execute as well as we needed to. But finishing the game was really good. We went out there in the 2-minute situation defensively, and made the stops there, got the ball back, and then offensively we ran the clock out. Running the ball, mm-hmm. which was good, and that's we practiced that. We talked about that all week, and not knowing what the situation would be at the end of the game, but, you know, if we were ahead, if we were behind, and how to play it. And I thought that was, the last 5 minutes of the game was pretty well executed. So that was good.
As you can well imagine, we have spent the first 3 hours of today's show with people talking about Randy Moss. Were you surprised and that you get a couple of players on the other team? Chris Gamble comes out, and he starts talking about how Moss was quitting during the course of the game. How do you react to when other players are actually saying that?
Yeah, I think I already had a comment on that. I mean, it's pretty amazing. You guys, one of the most productive players in the history of the league.
But they also, they also said that if you get into them early, they watch films. Is that any evidence to you that on films that Randy is being able to be shut down by getting whacking them or whatever? I don't know how they put it, but he said by watching film, you could see that if you get into Randy, take him out early.
Yeah. Well, it didn't take him long to get into the Miami game.
No, not too long.
Well, let's ask you, because all that really matters is what the coach and what his teammates think about him. There's been a lot of support today with a lot of his teammates out there. He had one catch in the game. That happened to be a fumble as well. Looking at yesterday's game, did not seem like it was the same Randy Moss we've seen. And I agree with you. This guy's been a marvelous player in the almost three years he's been here. Did you have a problem with his performance yesterday at all?
Well, I think that, every one of us out there, every coach, every player, every offensive player, there's always room for improvement. So I'm not going to say that anybody did a perfect job out there, me included. And that's the way it is every week. So, we can look at, especially in any skill player, you can look at any one of them and find a guy that didn't have big stats in a game and say, well, what happened to him in that game? Well, we can do that every week with every team. So I don't think that's what's important. What's important is we won. And, we played well enough to win. Did we make mistakes in the game? Sure. And do we need to improve on things? Absolutely. And that's what we're going to work on this week.
Were you satisfied with his effort? Because people are questioning his effort. Were you satisfied with his effort?
I think Randy's been a good football player for us since he's been here.
Is he frustrated at all with not being as numerically or statistically a big part of this offense the last 3 or 4 weeks?
He's one of the top receivers in the league, Steve.
I know that. I've 6th in total yards and 13th in total receptions. I know that, but is there a frustration? I mean, he's had 11 or 12 catches, in the last 4 or 5 games. Is it, for a guy that's competed on the level that he's competed, is he frustrated, or is there anything that you're seeing differently?
I think our team wants to win, and yep. I think everybody wants to win. And we didn't win the 2 weeks prior to this one, and we won yesterday. And that's what it's about, is playing well enough to win. So that's what it'll be this week, too. Whatever contributions we get, as a team, if they're good enough to win, then I think, everybody will feel good about it. But it's not about going out and getting individual stats for any player, pass rushers or receivers or runners or any of that. That's not what we're there for. We're there to win.
How did he react to the disciplinary action on Wednesday? How did he come back on Thursday and Friday for practice?
Good, good. I had a good talk with Randy really, as we all know, he's one of our team captains. He's one of the most respected players on the team. He's one of the best players on the team.
Bill, is he a victim of his own success? When you first slapped me down after I questioned you about bringing him in here, and they keep rubbing that in my face week after week, he played at the highest level.
It was
maybe
a slap down.
It was.
Yeah. I just fell down after you said it. But anyway,
well, I think
I'm recovering.
Fred, I think we all, understand Randy better than anybody that there's a certain microscope on him. And he knows that, and it's always been that way with him. So, this isn't anything, new. But the big thing is, every week come in, prepare, go out, work hard, play as well as you can on Sunday, come back, correct the mistakes, move on the next week. And I think he's very professional about that, as I feel that way about really all, our whole team, you know, that we try to – we correct our mistakes and we move on, get ready for the next team.
Now, when he ran that out, how could the DB read the route that he was running or anticipated the route to jump on it or Brady overthrow the ball? Because it looked like he read something in the corner and jumped in the area where the ball was going.
Yeah, well, I mean, it certainly could have been better executed. I think Tom talked about it this morning, so.
I don't listen to that show, sorry.
Coach, what I thought someone was a little disturbing, because he's a captain and because everybody expects a high level of performance from him, but when he's sitting on the bench by himself, looking like he's kind of pouting and everything, kind of isolated away from everything, I expect more from a team captain at that point. I mean, he was having a tough day. We all realize that, but sitting by yourself, the images they were showing on TV, again, we don't see it the whole game, but I expected more of a team captain than being isolated for the entire. He just seemed like he didn't want to be bothered with anybody. I know Tom came over a couple times and tried to talk to him. I mean, did you
Yeah, I talked to him. I didn't really get that feeling.
Okay.
They also highlighted him yawning. Did you see that one?
Ever yawned in the game?
No, pre-practice. Yeah. I've never seen you yawn, Bill.
Hey, sometimes you just can't help it.
No. How much is this, do you think? Because you've talked about this many times before. If a team is going to take away something, we're going to work on something else. How much of this is perception out there, and that you've got Wes Welker right now, who apparently is finding some openings and catching a lot of balls, that people are looking at the comparison of the two? Is that part of it, do you think?
That who?
That the perception right now is that Randy's not doing this because, let's face it, Wes Welker right now is, you know, your leading receiver, and he's on pace right now for 150 or something like that catches during the course of the season.
Right. Yeah, well, I don't really know whose perception you're talking about. I mean, I watch the teams play us, and I would say that, you know, they do a lot past in the pass defense because of Randy, because of Wes. You know, those guys get a lot of. Those guys had a lot of coverage. That's what I see, and we saw that again yesterday.
How come they can't stop Wes? I mean, a couple of times he's wide open, and if you're playing the New England Patriots, wouldn't one of your main objectives is to shut Randy down, obviously, and then to shut Wes down?
Well, I just think by the nature of the position, you know, we've seen slot receivers around here before. Mm-hmm. We've seen some good ones. That the nature of that position and is one that has more variety in their routes, more options. And different things you can do, and that's, you know, that leads to more catches, probably less yards per catch, generally speaking, but more, you know, more opportunities to work different types of routes from, you know, a position that gives you more space to work in. You know, it's just the nature of the spot.
It's amazing for his size and to get hit the way he got hit yesterday and just bounce up.
No, that Godfrey hit was just...
It was incredible to bounce up and then to be that proficient in the next four or five passes that were thrown to him. Pretty remarkable.
No, well, Wes is a tough kid and very tough, you know, mentally and physically. And he's a great competitor, and there's nobody wants to compete more than he does.
Does the coverage change a lot week to week, or is Randy still the primary object shut down in your offense? They always seem to double him, play him over the top. Is that consistent with last week's game, too?
Oh, I think we've seen that for 3 years.
It hasn't changed much at all, no matter what he does.
Well, I mean, even on the 55-yard touchdown he caught last week against Miami at the start of the game, that they were back there. I mean, he just got away from him.
Quick, another one. Smith, that touchdown pass, and it looked like Sanders had the outside. The safety.
Springs.
Springs had the outside. The safety not rotate fast enough because he looked like he was forcing them inside.
Yeah, we just didn't do a good job on that play, obviously. You know, just... Again, when we break down, it's as a team, and that includes everything, you know, the rush and the coverage and coaching, and you know, we just got to do a better job. We can't give up those kind of plays.
You mentioned the pass rush. It's been tough to get near the quarterbacks lately. Anything you can do about that as a coach or as a team?
Well, I think yesterday was. But, you know, it was good from the standpoint of, you know, the third down conversions. I mean, one was third and inches. Another one was, the Carolina version of the Wildcat play where Smith kept the ball on a run. Mm-hmm. And the other one was right there before the half on, you know, 5 seconds ago in the half or whatever it was. So other than that, you know, the third down conversions were good. And that's, again, that's really what it's about. It's about getting, the right combination of pressure and coverage, you know, to keep him from converting. So, you know, I thought we had pressure on a quarterback several times. You know, that Moore got rid of the ball a couple times. I don't think Merriweather really had a chance to intercept the one to Smith out of the backfield. But, you know, those kind of plays where you got pressure on the quarterback and he throws it before you hit him, then, you know, you're not going to get there. But it's good defense, and it gets you off the field.
Big Vince went down, and Adams come in, and I hadn't seen much of him prior.
Well, it's because he was on the practice squad and was just activated.
Yeah.
But I have a camera where I film everything. So I
can't <I'm sure>
you know, it's a big difference in Vince. Were you surprised because the first time they doubled him and kind of rolled him off the ball, they didn't keep running at him? They started throwing the ball?
Well, I think they stayed with the running game. You know, they did pretty much what they did all game until the end, until the last series, and then that was when they went into their two-minute, and it was basically all passing. But up to that point, they still continued to run and play action on first and second down, and almost all their passes were play-action passes. They didn't really have any drop-back passes until they got the third down, and then they, you know, tried to do what they needed to do on third down to convert. But I thought they stayed with that regardless of who was in the game until the last series.
With the lone playing so poorly, was there that much of a drop-off between him and Moore? I mean, he had been not playing great during the season. We hadn't seen much of Moore, but...
Well, you know, again, Moore played well last week against Tampa. Yeah. You know, I thought he made a couple of good throws yesterday. You know, the ball there to Rosario there on the sideline was a good throw. Post to Smith, you know, so you know he had some good throws, and then there were times where we had plays, you know, that were defended pretty well. So I think it's a, you know, like any passer, everybody's got, you know, some good plays and some ones that they'd rather have back or. You know, that weren't exactly the way they were designed. I think you see that in pretty much every game.
No sacks on Brady again this weekend. That's 2 weeks in a row. You're substituting a lot of people still in there. You got everybody back but Neal. Is that by design to move people around? And I noticed you're moving Vollmer over to that right side as well. And then we saw him some on the left side.
Right. Yeah. You know, Sebastian didn't play a whole lot the week before against Miami. But then this week, we wanted to get him in there and make sure that he got some, you know, some play time, play to both sides. You know, I think that he continues to improve and, you know, he works hard and we want to try to, you know, continue to, you know, play him and kind of see how all that sorts out. You know, we just haven't really had all of them healthy for the most part, you know, all year. It's been something somewhere. So if we get them all back healthy, that would be great. It just makes a better team.
We've seen him play well enough on the left side. How did he play on the right side?
You know, not bad. Not bad. You know, Peppers and, you know, we had a couple problems throughout the course of the game with the pass rush, and that's a good pass rushing team. You know, Tom got rid of the ball on time for the most part, and we didn't have to hold it too much. But, you know, Sebastian did a good job. Like always, there's a couple plays that could have been better than others, but overall, I thought he did a solid job.
Is it tough to rotate offensive linemen in and out as often as you have been the last couple of weeks because of injuries and other things? Is it tougher to get a feel for the quarterback of who's going to be doing what when it's not the same five guys out there all the time?
Well, I mean, I think ideally you'd like to have, you know, a lot of the same, you know, the quarterback and the receivers and the offensive line and your linebackers and your DB, you know, you'd like to have as much continuity as possible, but I don't know in this league that anybody, you know, has that ideally. You know, everybody's got to make changes somewhere along the line sooner or later, and that's just kind of the nature of it. So,
as Matt,
those guys work together, they rotate in there in practice, you know, particularly in the offensive line when you only take seven linemen to the game. You know, you got two guys backing up five spots, so you kind of have to rotate them through in there in practice. And to be honest with you, I'm not sure how many plays in practice actually that first group really takes just together. Mm-hmm. You know, where there isn't somebody rotating in for somebody because you can't. You know, you've got to move some people around over the course of practice to get them in all the different spots. So, for the most part, there's usually, you know, somebody in the rotation there.
As Matt like becomes more, you know, game conditioned, and Vollmer keeps growing, could you see them solidifying themselves at left and right and keeping Vollmer at right? I mean, he seems like a talented, a big man that can move like that, and when he hits somebody, they feel it. So I wonder if Matt Light gets better and Vollmer gets better, that you could see that solidify them two tackles more than rotating them.
Yeah, well, we'll see how that goes, Fred. I think that, you know, all of our tackles have had a chance to play over the last couple of years, Sebastian, Mark Lavoir, of course, Nick and Matt, and those guys have all played a lot. And really, I think they've all played well. And, of course, Mark played on both sides last year. He played a couple games for Nick when he went out in San Diego. And then, you know, he played, three games for Matt later on in the year. So, you know, I think we're pretty fortunate there that we've been able to have different tackles play and still play well and actually have some flexibility to play on either side. So, you know, going forward, we'll continue to, you know, work them all. Hopefully they'll all be healthy and then we'll have a decision to make. But if they're not, then we'll play the ones that are ready and ultimately we'll let the competition play out on the field.
Turnovers obviously were an issue in that game yesterday. Ultimately, they didn't make the difference because you still won the game.
Fortunate. Yeah. I'd say about 95% of the time when you're minus three on turnovers, you're not going to win. So we were in that 5%, and we don't want to be there again. I mean, the odds are just they're not with us, and we need to take better care of the ball than we did. And at the same time, we had our chances on defense to get the turnovers. We had our hands on several balls, and we didn't come up with them. And so on that side of it, we got to do a better job of intercepting passes and forcing fumbles and creating turnovers. So, you know, those two go hand in hand, but we have to protect the ball better on offense. There's no doubt about that.
Did we get a look at that when the defender tapped the ball of the end zone? It looked like his toe was on the line. We didn't get a great angle. Did you get to see it later on in your films, see if his toe was on it?
Well, you can't really tell from the coaching films. You know, I didn't really get a good look at the play, but, you know, we thought based on the reviews that we saw after the play, you know, it was at the end of it was change of possession, so there was a TV timeout. We had some extra time there. We saw it, and guys looking at it thought that his foot was on the line. It was a pretty close play, and of course, McCauley decided that it wasn't, so... Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things. You brought this up.
Close. Yep.
You brought this up before about having a camera right on that line, and that would make a difference. And that's, I think, the biggest problem when you're trying to figure that one out with the camera angles, certainly, that they show, and I'm sure the officials are looking at the same camera angles. They're offset. So how do you tell? I mean, it's not three-dimensional. It's offset, but you brought this up a couple of years ago. Put one right on the line. Put one right on the sidelines going up and on the sidelines. I would think you'd have a much better angle there.
Yeah, again, one of the biggest problems as a coach when you challenge is you don't really know what look you're going to get at the play. And sometimes you look at the play and say, well, here's what I saw, but then do you have that camera angle? And you never know where the cameras are going to be, but I've said this, as you mentioned, Glenn, for years, and I do believe it, that I think if there was some consistency and there was a camera on the sideline and there was a camera on the goal line and there was a camera on the end line, at least when those plays are challenged, if it was challenged, if those were the challenges, at least you would know that you would have a camera on that line. But right now, you're just at the mercy of whatever TV shots happen to be taken. Those are the ones that the officials look at, and the camera could be anywhere. And like what happened in the Denver playoff game in 05,
Watson
on the Watson play,
the
was
Denver game. Yeah.
All the cameras were down at the other end of the right. field where we were offensively, and then when Bailey ran the ball back and Watson knocked him out there right by the goal line, there was no cameras at that end of the field. They had all moved down to the other end. So I don't know. That's been brought up before the competition committee a couple times. And
why did they pass on it?
It seems like they're reluctant to do it. I don't know that they would have to spend money on a camera or something. But, again, there must be – I know every stadium must have 1,000 security cameras mm-hmm. in there. You know, they film everything else. I don't know why, you know, it would be so hard to get one on the critical places on the field where you want to challenge it. But, you know, again, that's just the way the rules are. So we all got to live with it. It's just not an excuse. I just think – it would be better for the game if we had that. Just like, you know, the way they've changed the rule this year is, you know, the officials don't ever blow the ball dead. They right. just let it go, and then, you
After
know,
that
you
Denver
scoop
game
it up.
Last
and,
year.
Yeah, now you scoop it up, and, you know, we've had a couple plays this year on, you know, plays that were clearly an incomplete pass, in my mind. I mean, I don't even think it would be close. We're both not blown dead, and they were picked up and returned for touchdowns. And then the other team had to challenge them to get the plays overturned, even though it was pretty obvious that those plays weren't – they were just incomplete passes. They weren't fumbles. But, you know, so the mechanics of the officiating and and how they rule on those plays now is kind of gone the other direction. It's sort of let everything go, and then if you don't like it, you can challenge it rather than, you know, make a call and, you know, here's the way we see it.
Well, baseball has these little tiny cameras they use around home plate,
sure.
and they actually use them to pick up the player that you've seen.
Yeah,
It's part of the broadcast, the national broadcast. I don't understand why they couldn't put something like that along the goal line. It makes no sense
to me. Well,
first
of all,
I can't believe the cost based on the National Football League. Come on. The cost.
Well, what is it? I mean, you know.
It can't be a lot of money.
Glenn, maybe you should bring it up with people on the competition committee and see what they have to say about it.
They're not listening to you. They're not listening to me.
Yeah, I'll talk to them.
But, Coach, the can of worms you just opened up by that 2005 Denver game, there isn't a real postgame show that goes by where that play doesn't come up with my man over here to the left.
Because you know what? You look at those, Bill, the pass interference, but that play in particular.
Can we move on?
It would change my night. It would change my night.
5 years later, he's not over it.
But you're right. Just by putting a camera there.
Fred, we're here to talk about Buffalo.
You can get a real bird's eye view of
Take
it, so there's no
breath.
Question. That one's going to go on for infamy
Let
in my
go.
Mind because that went out of the end zone. You're right. That would cure all the ills of questioning some of the incompetence or
Coach,
you know, whatever.
Play his eyes
right?
lit.
I mean,
his eyes
the
light
camera,
up
the camera there would end this turmoil.
It's like what Pete talks about Brady.
Right? You think over and over, what would have happened if that was called correctly? You get the ball in the 20.
Stop. Get over.
No, but you're right. That camera would eliminate all that crap.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, I don't think the issue really is to help or hurt any team. I think, to me, the big issue is when you challenge a play to just know, okay, it's out in the middle of the field, it's in a pile of players, was the guy down, was he not down? Well, I think we all understand that, hey, maybe there's not a good look at that play. You know, we don't know what, you know, it's a tough play. Who knows whether his knee's down or not? There's just a pile of bodies, and if you really got a good shot, you can see it. Great. If you can't, then the play is going to stand. Like, we all understand that. But, you know, when the guy catches the ball in the back of the end zone, did he get his feet down? Did he not? Did he have possession? Did he not? It's a close call. And we know that those end zone and goal line plays and sideline plays are where so many of the replays center around. And really, it's an easy thing. It's a straight line. So let's just take a look at it. But the league doesn't really seem to want to do it because it's been brought up numerous times, and there's just no real support for it. So
and it's such
we just
a simple
leave
thing.
It the way it is.
Such a simple thing, too.
Yeah. We brought this up last week and actually had a situation yesterday where apparently I would think it came into play. You were talking about weather conditions last week. Yesterday, hey, we had a situation where first half of the game, good portion of the first half of the game, it was clear. Second half, suddenly you've got rain, and it suddenly develops into fairly, I would say, continuous rain after a while. Do you have to change up what you did? Did you pull anything back out of the playbook? Did you become more conservative?
No, I don't think it affected any of the plays. I think it just affects the actual ball handling and the actual execution of the plays. I didn't think the rain or the wind was strong enough to affect really much anything in that game. You know, maybe on Casey's field goal a little bit, but, you know, his long, I think, is about 51-50 this year anyway. Mm-hmm. And I think that was 53, and it was short by a couple of yards.
Yep.
I mean, it was right there on the edge. That didn't surprise me that ball came up short. But I didn't think the conditions were, you know, the cold, the wind, the rain, any of those are strong enough to change anything you're doing. But I think you just have to concentrate a little bit more about being playing on a wet surface, playing with your feet under you, you know, handling the ball more securely, gripping it for the quarterback, the kickers, you know, those kind of things, the returners. You know, I think you have to take that into consideration, but I don't think it changed anything.
Would you adjust your decision on a field goal with your field goal kicker based on what you saw before the game, what he was able to kick, and then now suddenly new weather conditions?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, sure.
Heavier ball?
Yeah, heavier. Well, and as it gets colder, you know, I think we could see the ball wasn't flying as far. I mean, you know, we know where how Steve can kick off and those balls were, you know, 8-9 yard line, you know, and he had good hang time on them, too. I mean, he hit them well. It's just, you know, they just don't carry as well at this time of year in the cold weather. And not so much the wind because, he kicked off with the wind a couple times, too. Not that there was a lot of it, but, you know, the ball just doesn't carry as well in the cold weather.
So what was your limit on that situation, 50 on Gostkowski's kick?
Well, I think on the long field goals, Fred, there's two ways to look at it. One is the kick at the end of the half or, you know, a game-winning kick or something like that. Well, then you know, it's can you get it there? And then just what's the maximum range that a kicker can kick it? The other question, though, is, you know, at what point do you feel like there's a percentage that you can make it? Because if you kick one in the middle of the second quarter and miss it, you know, you don't want to ham the ball on the, you know, on a 45-yard line. So, you know, percentage of making it factors in, you know, on all those kicks until you get to the last one. Then the last one, it's just, you know, strictly distance. And only hoping hit it in the fairway.
Quick 90-second break. When we come back, we'll take a peek at the Buffalo Bills coming up on Sunday right here on Patriots Monday. All right, back here on the Big Show, it's Patriots Monday. We're live down here at Gillette Stadium, and if you have not looked at tiebreakers and numerical stuff with playoff, then you probably do not understand that Sunday's game puts it all on the line. It's a divisional game, and it would give the Patriots a 4-2 record within the division, and I take it that all of that plays into how important this game is for you guys.
Well, we all know the division games are important in the tiebreaker system, and I mean, just a win at this point is important, obviously. But you know, Buffalo on the road, we really haven't won it on the road this year. We're 3-2 in the division, and I really want to be 4-2. So this is a big win, big opportunity for us to get a win here on the road. We haven't done that. We need to do it.
All right, tell us about Ryan Fitzpatrick. Apparently, he couldn't get into Northeastern, but we'll let him fly.
BC rejected him.
Yeah, we'll let him fly on that one. Tell
us about him. One thing, we know he can run. You know, he's fast. Yeah. That play he had against Miami where he just ran outside and went 131 yards down the sideline. He's a very good runner, and he can throw it deep. You know, he looks for T.O. You know, he had the 97, 8, whatever it was, yarder against Jacksonville. Tossed it up against the Dolphins. You know, he's a very good passer, good big play receivers with the two T.O. and Lee Evans and two great backs, you know, Jackson and Marshawn Lynch. Those guys are very kind of like, you know, D'Angelo Williams, that kind of, you know, this 1-2 punch that we saw last week with Stewart and Williams. They can hit it anywhere. They bounce out. They cut back. They're shifty. They make you miss. They break tackles. They're strong guys. They've got very good skill players. They've been banged up on the offensive line a little bit. But they can move the ball and they can score points.
How much has the offense changed with Edwards being out?
Well, I'm not sure what all the factors are, but it looks like they're less no huddle or have been. Now, you know, when they get it home, they might feel a little more comfortable doing that. But, of course, they opened with it on the road against us, and it looks like that the no huddle has become, not as prevalent as it was earlier in the year, whether that's because of the quarterback, because of the with Perry taking over as the head coach, whether it's, you know, because of some of the injuries on the offensive line. I'm not sure what all the factors are, but it seems like that's a little bit less.
Any noticeable differences in coaching philosophies or play calling since Perry took over as head coach?
Well, other than the no-huddle thing, I would say, you know, no, they kind of it seems like they try to get the ball down the field a little bit more. They try to use, Owens and Evans on deep balls, and you can see a lot of times where they get single coverage out there and Fitz will check to, a go pattern, which is what happened in the Miami game. Mm-hmm. At the end of the game, they had a 3-point lead or whatever it was, got the ball back, and he saw single coverage. He checked out of, I think it was a run they had called, and then just, tossed it up there to Owens for a 50-yard touchdown. So they're not – I think when they get those matchups, they like them, they want to go to them, and I'd say that's a little more than what they did in the past.
Aaron Schobel. He's had some big games against the Patriots over the years and has caused some fits back there for Brady. I take it you'll have both Light and you probably see some of Olmor on that side?
Well, he's a guy that'll move around a little bit. Most of the time he'll line up on our left. But, they have a very active front and they put good pressure on the quarterback. And of course, they lead the league in interceptions with 25. So, and some of those are good plays by the defensive back. Some of them are because of pressure and a quarterback either getting hit as he's throwing the ball or trying to throw it, before they hit him. So they do a good job of that. Their linebackers are active. They run well, kind of like a little bit like the Carolina linebackers and New Orleans linebackers. You know, they're faster guys that maybe aren't quite as big, but they cover more ground and a little more a little more range than some of the bigger, more physical guys that we play against. So. Defensively, they've done a good job in the passing game, and they can rush.
How heavy do they lean on the blitz? They do basic rush.
They mix it in there. Yeah, they mix it in there. They play some man to man, and they also play some blitz zone, and they play the regular zone coverages. So they mix it up on in, and certainly if they find something that's giving you a problem, then you'll see more of it. There's some games where they pressure more than others, and some games they play more man than zone, but if they find something that's working, you're going to see it.
We get this question all the time, and I think Pete asked you about it last week, about the tight ends and getting the tight ends involved in the offense, and you did get Ben involved, obviously, in the offense this past Sunday. A concerted effort to do that, or was that's what they gave you and that's what you took?
Well, yeah, on the long pass to Ben, the interference, so that was he was matched up on the linebacker there on Anderson. Same thing on that sideline route that he caught over there, kind of over by in front of our bench. So, you know, those matchups with Ben on a linebacker, you know, that's where Tom wants to go. And if they, you know, we get Wes on a linebacker, then that's where we want to go. And so, you know, depending on the route and the matchup, but I think Tom has a lot of confidence in those, in all the receivers, really. And, you know, he'll throw it to whoever's open and whoever's got the best matchup.
This Buffalo team is 2-2 in the last four. There could be 4-0. A couple of plays here and there, and they might easily be 4-0. But how is Terrell Owens factored into all of this, you know, since Fitzpatrick took over?
Well, I think he's become – I mean, we know he's been a big play receiver, yeah. But I think that he's become more of a big play guy just because they look for him more. And, you know, he had, you know, another touchdown last week against Kansas City, made another real nice play on a crossing route. You know, really, Pete, they're a play or two away from winning the opener. So they've had several games where it's been tight or where they get the ball, you know, last possession, down by three, down by six, and they've lost a couple tough games that way too. So, you know, I think this is a team that they're always competitive. We had a tough time with them over there last year. We had a tough time with them in the opener, and I'm sure it'll be tough on Sunday.
Special teams. They've always been noted for good special teams with trim guys. Are they still at that level?
Absolutely. Good in the return game. Good kickers, good specialists. You know, Mormon and those guys can change field position. They cover well. They're well coached. They have a good a lot of confidence in that, and they continue to make plays with it. You know, so they're – yeah, they do a good job.
It's amazing. Every year they are good at special teams. It's just amazing.
McGee and Parrish are unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, speaking of...
Well, you know, good specialist. I mean, if you have a good, you know, if you got a good punter, you got a good kicker, you got a good returner, you got a good snapper, you've got those players that are good, then that's, you know, you're a good ways. You're in the right direction. Mm-hmm. You know, because that's why they're specialists. You know,
one ace cover guy.
Well, you know, of course, the more you have, the better, but it's... You know, but it starts with, you know, with good core specialists and guys that, you know, that execute that part of it well. And, you know, just like yesterday, you know, we make those two long field goals and it makes a big difference in the game, you know, and without a good kicker, without a good, you know, holder and snapper and, you know, I mean, you got to have good protection. I understand that. But, you know, if the specialists don't, you know, if they perform well, then you're probably going to be okay. If they don't, then it's impossible really to be good in a kicking game without good specialists.
We're talking about special teams. You've got Wes Walker, the most prolific receiver in the league right now, returning punts and doing a pretty good job. Any concern there about overburdening Wes Walker with those duties?
Well, I think it's, you know, another opportunity to get the ball in Wes's hands. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Wes is, look, we're just trying to win. And nobody wants to win more than Wes does. You know, and nobody's as competitive as he is. He's just a great competitor. So, you know, just like the New Orleans game, if we can, you know, break a long return, that could be the play that makes the difference. And at this time of year, you know, we only got three games left. You know, you got to put everything you can into winning every one of them. There's nothing to save it for.
How much emphasis do you put? You mentioned already you haven't won a road game. Certainly in this country, you haven't won a road game.
Yeah, that's right.
How much emphasis do you put on it with this team, using that as your goal this week, not only to win this game, but, you know, we got to finally do something on the road here.
Well, we've been talking about it all year, but we talk about it every year. I mean, we know you can't go 8-8, you know, win the home games and lose the road games. That's, you know, that'll never get you where you want to go. You know, you take pride in playing at home. You always want to do well at home, and we have this year, and for the most part, we have through the years. We've won a lot of games here, but it's equally important to win on the road, and you know, that's just the mentality. When you go on the road, of course, you have to deal with, you know, a different environment and crowd noise and all that, but you know, it's definitely a, you know, us against everybody deal. You know, there's not a lot of fans on the road and there's not a lot of support. And you've got to generate that energy yourself and then be able to, when things don't go well at some point, when the other team, you know, makes a couple plays or they score or they get some momentum, then, you know, you've got to be able to play through that adversity on the road. You don't have any fans cheering you on, you know, giving you some support behind you like you do at home. You just got to play through it and be able to execute in those situations. So what? We can, you know, we've got to do a better job than what we've done. We got to do a better job of coaching, and we got to do a better job of playing.
How much time does Brady need to get the play in so he can get to the line of scrimmage and do his, you know, audibles and check the strength and all that stuff? Sometimes he gets in there with 5 or 6 seconds left. It seems like he's hurried. What is the ideal amount of time he should get that play in so he has time to get to the line and check everything out?
Well, it depends on the play, Fred, obviously. There's some plays that there are more options on than others. And we have different plays in our system to try to, you know, take advantage of looks that the defense gives us. There's other plays that we just pretty much can run against anything. Some looks are better than others, but we can let those go, and those give us an opportunity to play faster and get up on the ball and call the plays. Some plays have, you know, shifting and motion and that kind of thing built into it to try to disguise them or gain some kind of advantage against the defense. So it really depends on the play. And some plays have longer, more words, more verbiage in them than others, and that can slow the process down sometimes as opposed to a real quick play that, you know, zero on right 34 on two, let's go. You know, I mean, it takes 3 seconds. Other plays take longer than that. So a lot of times when we substitute personnel in and out, that until everybody gets in the huddle, then, you know, we really can't start calling them. So that's part of the process, too, is, you know, you gain advantages by switching personnel and making them match up and all that. But it takes a little bit longer for you sometimes, too. So.
All right, Bill, good luck. Congratulations yesterday. Good luck up in Buffalo. And by the way, don't get distracted by that 76 on the Ring of Honor that you see up there in Buffalo. Don't let that distract
I'll
you.
I'll be up there watching you. I have a fake mustache
The statue in front of the men's room. Don't pay no attention to that.
Hey, a statue, it's me.
Good luck in Buffalo.
Good luck,
we'll see you back here on Monday.
Thanks, Coach.
Okay.